I want to thank God for saving my soul. Amen. And also thank Him for this church, for your prayers, and for the opportunity that you have granted to me to come. I think this is my first time here, and I thank God for His blessings. Amen. I want just to maybe speak briefly about myself and about the church in Kenya. The church in Kenya was started as a mission of Union Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Georgia, and through Brother Paul Bryson, who came to Kenya in 2002. And after God's blessing, this church was organized in 2003. And in the year 2005, God again led us to go about 15 hours drive from Mombasa to a place called Ramogi, around a place, Lake Victoria. And we started a mission there. And that mission went on for a while. And it was organized in 2012. And I thank God for the brethren that the Lord brought, Brother James Jones and Brother Spurgeon and the rest that came to help us organize that church, that mission into a church in 2012. Later, also the Lord moved us because most of our members at New Hope in Mombasa, most of them lived somewhere very far, and our van was not able to carry as we did before, and we were able to begin another mission, and it was started in our school at New Hope Preparatory School. This mission has been on, and I think I spend most of the time in the mission as we try to go out and to reach out. And this mission is now ready for organization, and we have about 100 people come to this mission. And almost a half of the members of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church attend at the New Hope Preparatory School, where we do our regular services every Sunday, where we have students, the parents of the school come to hear the word of God. We have also 400 students at our school, and we feed them twice in a day. And thank God, because we have also opportunity to also preach to them every Friday. Amen. And we thank God for the opportunity that He has given to us. We have seen several of the young people come to know the Lord. And most importantly also, God has called some of them to preach. And we have one of them right now helping me, preaching at the New Hope Preparatory School while I'm gone on this side. So continue to pray for the mission work and also the work at the school. We thank God that also the Lord also has helped us to start another about 45 hours drive from another place called Olasi. It is in Muhuru Bay. That mission at Muhuru Bay was started also some years after Ramogi Hill was established. So we have Muhuru Bay, which is our third mission. But the Lord has also helped us. We have got the building, we have got the plot and the building, and everything is about ready. And this year we are going to be having our revival right there. And I'm here to invite brethren that feel and our sisters feel led to come to Kenya to be with us during that revival. It takes about 1 week, and all our missions and all the church members come together to hear the Lord's word for a week. We sleep there, we preach there, and we just have a good time of brothers and sisters conversing and speaking about the Lord and the great work that is done in our lives. So I take the opportunity to welcome you at Muhuru Bay this year. We thank God that Muhuru Bay is now very ready for organization. It's only a few minutes to Tanzania. As another country, we have some members of New Hope that were baptized at Muhuru Bay who are coming from Tanzania. They come, they hear the preaching, and the evening they go back to Tanzania. So we thank God for that privilege that the Lord has given to us. In that area, we also have another mission called OLAS that started recently. We recently baptized seven of those to our church, and also baptized three to our church from Uhuru Bay. Now, that adds about 10 more people that have been saved and baptized into our church. And we thank God for really allowing us. Those two missions are all looking to Tanzania. I always tell people that I am putting two guns near Tanzania. I'm ready to go anytime to Tanzania when the Lord leads us to do so. So please pray for us. We are really seeing a wonderful move of the Holy Spirit and God leadership in whatever that we are doing. But you know, even when things goes well this way, the devil is still will try to really destroy. But we thank God that he has promised us to be successful and victorious when we lean on him every day. We thank God for, again, what God has done, that God was able to help us through Brother Whittemore and Brother Jeremy, that they were able, because the church in Kenya was praying so much to start a mission on the western part of Kenya. You see, Mombasa is the east coast, but Ramogi is around Lake Victoria. It's about 3 hours from Ramogi to Bungoma, where the brethren are preaching every day. But we were so thankful when the Lord answered our prayer that the brethren had been found, and I was very ready to go and hear and to see what is happening. Then when I went, I went twice, the first time, and then I went the second time to just be sure. And the second time when I was there, I was able to baptize 10 people in that mission at Bungoma. And also there's another one near Lubanga, which is about 1 hour, 30 minutes from Bungoma, which was also got information from Brother Jeremy. And I was able to listen to them, and we baptized three. There are a lot, about 20 people, but I was ready to detect. I was able to only, by that time, was satisfied with three, and only the three were baptized into our New Hope Mission and Baptist Church. We believe that God is going to bless us more, and as we continue to preach, even recently, about two of them, I've been told that God saved since I left, and I believe that two more people are there ready for baptism. But even at New Hope Mikindani, at the primary school where we have, also some gentlemen have given their testimony, and it's been a long time. This gentleman that gave testimony of salvation, it's been a long time, over 10 years. The children, the wife, have got saved in the church, but he has never given the testimony. But recently, before I left, about 2 weeks before I left, he stood up at the church and gave his testimony that the Lord saved him. So when I get back, I'm going to be baptizing some more people. So please pray for us. The Lord is saying that the harvest is ready, and he asks us to pray for the people that are ready to go. We are Missionary Baptist Church, but some of us are full of fear. But we ask the Lord to give us, to demonstrate to us and to help us understand that the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Amen. And of sound mind. So let us go out as he leads, and let's pray for those. I want to specifically thank this church for the support, especially that I've been given to Bungoma and to build and to help us erect that building and the plot. It's really beneficial, and I'm really thankful that you are able to come and to help us, because without your support and without your prayer, it would have not been possible. But we thank God that the Lord is leading and guiding and helping us to accomplish all this together. Please continue to pray for us as we wait to have a revival in Bungoma in the month of October and November, God willing. And I know that the Lord will not lead us where his grace cannot take care of us. So, and I want to again welcome, if you are a doctor, you are a nurse, you are a teacher, All of us have been called to be involved in the mission. And mission is all that we do to give the glory to God. Amen. Men have been called to preach, but we can have our sisters and brothers that have read the Bible enough to hear that Jesus Christ, while here in the ministry, we had ladies that their names are in the Bible, that they were really standing by and helping the ministry and were ready in the field to really provide and to help Jesus Christ and even their disciples to continue the ministry. And we cannot really, we cannot take a back seat and say it's only men that are supposed to go. It's all of us. Either we pray, either we support, or either we are there personally doing. And I thank God for the leadership that he gave to one. We have got about three ladies that have come. We have got Brother Jeff come with his wife. We've got Brenda and Jimmy also came. And we were blessed. And recently we had another lady from Ohio, Liberty, and it was amazing what the Lord did through her. We have now have a home science laboratory where we have things that we can use to help our women and our children to know how to crochet and also how to sew their clothes. And that is really wonderful. That is what I call mission work. So please, can all be involved as a teacher. Just helping a child to holding his hand. One of these days when you get to heaven, you'll be surprised when he says, "You come, you the blessed one, because I was sick. You came for me. I was in the hostel. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat." And you'll wonder, when was that? Anything you do for this little one, you do it for God. So I want to encourage this church and every individual that we are ready and the mission is for all of us. God bless you and God keep you. I want us to, I know maybe later I will be available for any question. Sometimes when I'm about to preach, things get out of my, because I think of most important things, it's the preaching of the word of God. So please pray for me, and if you are led to come to Kenya anytime, don't hesitate. We are ready, waiting. Anytime is time for revival. Anytime you call me, Brother, the brother from Springfield, Gary Fulbright, just rang me and said God had released him to come to Kenya. And I said, when? And once he gave me the date, we were ready to organize a revival, and for 1 week. And that was the first, what we call, Bible school that we ever had for all our children come together to study the word of God. And he was able to preach to them every day. And it was fantastic. Please, the Lord has commanded us to go. And until he says it's over, we must continue doing it. Thank you very much. I want us to go to the word of God. And if you can, please open with me the book of Acts. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 19. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 19. I'm going to be jumping some because time. And it reads, chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple, and at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, saying, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walking, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And at this, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witness, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I want us to read also chapter 4, verse 13. And it says, chapter 4, verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." The Lord bless his word. Tonight, my thought is about knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. And when we talk about knowing Jesus, the Bible talked, I know the Hebrew or the Greek word for knowing, my kind be different, my kind may be kind of different in our notion and in our mind. Because knowing does not only talk about having a knowledge of somebody, it's about having an experience. Amen. Of who that person is. Amen. And in the Bible, we read that Adam knew his wife, and Eve got a son. And therefore, knowing is kind of deeper. And therefore, when we talk about knowing Jesus, it must be a deeper understanding of who he is, his purpose of coming to this world. And if we don't know his purpose, then we don't know who he is. If we don't know where he came from, then we don't know who he is. So the people that have known him, and we have read John, we have read about James, we have read about Paul, and many different kind of people. These people kind of came to know him as they walked and moved, and as they talked to them, they kind of became to know him even deeper and deeper. And those that know Jesus Christ, their life never remained the same. Talk about Paul the criminal, the one that was going around trying to persecute and putting the Christian in danger and even killing some of them. When he came to understand and when he had a knowledge and experience, he gives a testimony that it was when he was on his way to Damascus that he said that he saw the light and he fell down and he had the voice speaking to him. And that voice introduced himself and said, asked him, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, who am are you that I'm persecuting? Then he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And you see, Paul understood by and by, on that very particular time, who Jesus is. And he later gave a testimony of his apostleship. He said, I'm the least of the apostles because the apostle must be one that had an experience, that walked with Jesus Christ, that heard from Jesus Christ. And he said, I have walked with him. I have had him speak to me on a personal, individual way. And therefore, I can testify. And I know without a doubt that he lives because I saw him. I saw him. So the people that had a knowledge of who Jesus is, knowing who he is, their life changed. They never remained the same. And therefore, I ask all brethren, let's continue to have a quest for who he is. Because when he comes in your life, he will change you. He will change your perspective about ministry, about God, and about the church, and about who you are, and the purpose that he has called you to do. John, one of the apostles that asked Jesus one day, he says, let's bring fire so that these people can burn out. Now he's so much on fire, breathing and having the love for people because Jesus had changed his life. When he heard Jesus talk about the mission, evangelism, he heard Jesus say that you shall receive power. And when that power has come upon you, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you shall be my witnesses. When they had, they never knew how it will work. The timid Peter was able to stand up and begin to do that which Jesus had called him to do. The Bible speaks, and Luke records, he says they were on their way to the temple. Something that they did on a normal basis. They went to the temple, they prayed, they went out. But the Bible says that this day, when they went into the temple, they found this beggar that has been there for every time, and his aim was always to ask for alms. But you see, the Bible says that when John and Peter saw him, they had another perspective. He says that they spoke to him. They spoke to him and asked him to look at them very keenly. And the Bible says that he said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we shall give unto you. So I want to say, as my first point today, that Jesus is all that this world needs. Amen. To be better. We talk about how corrupt it is. Zacchaeus was a very corrupt individual. But when he met Jesus, his life changed. Because he met the Savior. He met a life changer. He met Jesus and his life changed completely. He was forgiven and he was given a direction. Matthew, the tax collector, that we call the Levi, also life was changed. And we can read what Jesus did in his life. I want to say that knowing Jesus is very important. When you know Jesus, then your story will change. You always sing the song, this is my story. This is my story. This is my song. When you begin and when you come to understand who Jesus is, God-man, Jesus the Savior, how he came from heaven to this earth, just describing his purpose, he said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And he says, I have given you, he said, all power and authority has been given to me. And that authority now, because I love you, because I trust you, I give it over unto you as a church. Go ye therefore and make disciples. He says, let us go. And he says, even when you go, you are not on your own. You are with him. Say, "Lo, I'm with you always up to the end." Though we have a Savior, we have a caller. We have a Lord of all lords has entrusted us with an opportunity to do ministry. We cannot afford to sit because he is still waiting and is still telling us to go. When you have Jesus, your story will change. That's what we sing. This is my story. This is my song. Perfect. You have to really have that perfect submission, perfect delight. You see, we sing these songs, but it doesn't speak to us. We sing it, but it doesn't speak to us. But it says you will have a perfect submission, perfectly giving over, surrendering to your will, to his purpose, and to do that without questioning. Because he says, you go. He says, you will be watching and waiting and looking above, born of his spirit and lost in his love. You need to understand what the singer went through when he wrote that song, so that sometimes we understand. I say that Jesus is all that this world needs to be better. Our world is sick. Our world needs Jesus. And sometimes people say, well, what is it that we need? People say, well, I need money. Money is not what we need. That is what this man has been begging year after year at the temple. It never made a difference in his life. The philosophers, I think, had said that God made man, man made money, and money made man mad. God made us that we may use this money to extend the ministry. Use this money to reach out to the lost and dying world. We have the Bible and we have everything that we need right now to go. But some of us are scared and tired. We say, oh, we are going to die when we go overseas. But every time I hear them sing some glad morning, I'll fly away. It's silly. So we need to understand that we are living in a lame, sick, crippled world. It's a world where people think that money is the answer. But I want to say that Jesus is the answer, is the solution to the problem that this world has. And therefore, we need to understand that when we have Jesus, we have all the world needs to recover from their infirmities and their sin. And we need to know that he cares for us and that we must respond to Jesus by faith. The Bible says that when this man saw Peter and John, he begged them alms. And I believe maybe he thought something greater will come from him. But I believe he might have thought that this was just an usual journey and that he was going to receive what he usually receives. But instead, Peter and John didn't give him the usual alms. The Bible says that in verse 4, that Peter said, fasten their eyes upon him and ask him to have a keen look at them. The lame looked at him with great expectation, receiving something. He was thinking that he will receive something that he always received. But I say that Jesus is the gift. When we receive, when we ask, when we repent, and when we fix our eyes on him, is the gift of life that God has given to us. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have everything that you need. You have everything that you need in life. It will carry you off, over, and will reach with you because he's the greatest friend. Again, as a singer sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. A friend that can never leave you, that can never forsake you. He stands with you always to the end. I want to say as my second point that we have in us something greater than silver and gold. There's no point that we can have nothing to give out to the lost and dying world. We have a word of God. We have the name of Jesus. This is what Paul got And this is why Paul was able to go out to start missions, to start churches, and went out preaching. And he preached to the end. He was ready to testify. He was able to testify in the courts of law, in the courts where different people. He spoke boldly because he knew whom he believed. I want to ask brethren and all the brothers here, let's understand. Let us know whom do we believe. Is he in us? In Kenya, we have a say that says that living always, if you have a living being in your stomach or in your womb, it will always, there's always going to be something moving up and down. And whenever it does not move, it means there's a problem. You will have to see the doctor. So if you have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he says he will give us his spirit. And he says the spirit, he describes the spirit as the comforter. He says, but when the comforter in John chapter 14, 26 says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This is Jesus. He knows that we need a comforter. He knows that we need an encourager. We need somebody to be with us and to help us in the mission work, in talking about him, in preaching the gospel. I'm glad that we have him and that he will never fail us. This Paul, Peter and James, he said, we don't have money. We don't have arms. But what we have, we shall give unto you. I want to tell the church, we have something to offer. A testimony will speak to the hearts. Some of us, when we come to church, we feel like we're going to waste time. We feel like we don't want to be heard. We feel like we need to go home. You see, God has given you a testimony. And that is a testimony that you have to come to church. Before you come to church, you have to pray. And when you come to church, you must just be mindful of what the Lord is telling you to do. You have to give your testimony. And that will encourage other Christians to know that Jesus was not only yesterday, because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way he called upon his people to stand up and to give testimony says they overcame by the testimony and the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb. Even today, we can overcome by every one of us doing what is needed of him, to testify, to sing, to preach, and to fellowship. All of us have given duties and have been called upon to stand at the gap and to do what is necessary. That's why God has called us, and all of us are given different gifts, and those gifts must be utilized for the glory of God. All of us, not all of us are fingers, not all of us are hair, not all of us are feet, not all of us are noses, not all of us are eyes. But all of us, just like a body, must function for the glory of God, for the church to be actively involved, to edify the body of Christ. This is what the first church knew. And that's why they conquered the world without a Bible compacted and put together. But they went out where they were without the aeroplanes. They went to the ship, to the boats, and they were able to reach out and ready to die because they knew that in life, in Christ, they gain. That because they gave all to Jesus. There was nothing that they could hold on. They knew Jesus was going to come in their lifetime. They were so urgent. They were moving from one house to another, from one country to another, because they were led by the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is what who we have today. And that Spirit is still active and still working. But we need to be sensitive. We need to be obedient to follow the Lord every day to make Jesus happy. Peter and John having the man in need and has stretched forth his hand, expecting a handout, Peter and John drew his attention for the man, and he told him to look at him keenly, hoping that he would get something better. But I want to say something better is the name of Jesus. They looked up him and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up, rise up and walk." And all of a sudden, the Bible said that this man that was weak, the bones got strengthened, and he was ready to walk, and he leaping and went into the temple to pray. Brothers and sisters, do you know him? Peter and John knew that there is no another name, and they talked about that in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." When the name of Jesus Christ is declared, that is the name that is being given to us, the name that can save us, the name of Jesus Christ. And that is what Peter and John did. And they, all of a sudden, they saw this man leaping and going to the temple happy because Jesus had done him a great job. Leaping, they stood up and walked and entered with them to the temple. And thirdly, I want to say, Jesus should be the content of our message. He's all that you can preach. And he can preach near in and near out the name of Jesus. You look at chapter 11, says, "And the name and the lame which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together into the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, why marveled at this? Or why look unto us so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have done this?'" See, it is not by our own power. It is by his name. It is by his calling. It is by his grace we are able to go out and do it. But even when it is done, it's not us that has done it. Peter and John were able to give credit. Unfortunately, the preachers of today they want to take credit. They say, "Look at what I've done. Look at what I've done." There's nothing that we can do because we can only give what the Lord has given unto us. The Lord has given us everlasting life, has given us the message to share. He's calling, he's given you salvation to testify. He's calling you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And that he has done freely. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you have experience with him? Do you know him that saved me when I was lost as a young man? When I asked for him and repented of my sin, and he spoke peace into my soul, and that became an experience. He told me, "I will never leave you, neither shall I forsake thee." And he has been with me always. Amen. And I'm glad that he has not lied to me, because he's not a son of man that he can lie. And I want to tell you, if you are here and you are lost, you have Jesus that you can trust, and he will take care of you. He will keep you until the end. Do you know him? Do you know him that Noah called the ark? Noah called Jesus the ark. That anybody that entered into that ark was saved from the rain and from every calamity and from the death that killed everybody in that very world. Noah called him the ark. What do you call him today? Do you know him? That Abraham called him Jehovah Jireh when he provided for him an answer when his son was going to be when he took his son to sacrifice, but God provided a ram, and he looked around the other side and he saw his son being saved. Abraham was so pleased by the action of God. He called him Jehovah Jireh. He had experience of him. He said, "God, I knew I was coming here to sacrifice my son, but I knew that you have given me promise and experience." He said, "You are not only God, but you are Jehovah Jireh, God my provider." What do you call him today? Do you know him, my brother? Do you know him, my sister? that Ruth referred to as kinsman redeemer when she was in a big problem and God provided. And he says, he's my kinsman redeemer. He's the one who never lies. He has all his roots and he will do that which he has promised. Nebuchadnezzar one day referred to him when he looked at to the fire which he has thrown, when he had thrown the Jews, three Hebrew people, and he looked unto that fire and he saw four, and he said, no, I only threw three, but there I see four, and he said, no, but the fourth looks like the Son of God. Do you know him? Do you have an experience with him? Has he spoken to you? Has he spoken to you? If you spoke to him, he will change you. Your experience will make you be able to stand up and give a testimony, because he never leaves the one that he calls. He changes their lives. He gives them an experience. Sometimes you talk about cloud, you talk about tornadoes, you have never been in one. But if you, one day I went to baptize in the Indian Ocean. And as I was baptizing, there was a lady that got saved, but we believed she was a Muslim lady. And the day that I was baptizing, we were two of us in the ocean, and we were waiting. And as I said, in the name of Jesus, I baptize in the name of the Son, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A bigger wave came, and just we found ourselves lost. The towel I had was gone. And this lady was gone. And we tried to search for her down into the... because the wave had already enclosed us. We are all deep in down in the water. And when we jumped out, we said, truly that was a wave. We talk about wave, but when you are in wave, you'll know it shakes. Do you have an experience? Do you know him? Has he given you an experience? John called him the Word of God. He says, which was with God from the beginning. Paul calls him the Creator. He says, Paul says, for by him were all things created, that is in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things were created by him and for him. Do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know him today? Moses called him, I am who I am. David referred to him as rock of my salvation. Job called him redeemer that liveth. Even the time when his life was so much in trouble. In Revelation, he's known as the Lion of Judah. From the root of David. He is the perfect lamb and complete sacrifice that God gave so that we cannot go anymore with any sacrifice. He has a perfect, and I want to tell you, he can save you today. He can, if you come to him and if you seek him from the bottom of your heart, with a conscious spirit, Jesus, unless Jesus becomes the story, becomes your story, you will never be the same again. The quest for life will change. He leaped for joy. And I want to say, Jesus is a wonderful, his name is wonderful. He still saves, he still keeps, and he still gives an experience. You can draw near to him. This is my story. This is my story. And this is my song. Perfect submission, the perfect delight. Watching and waiting and looking above. That is, should be our posture. Waiting as we do the ministry he has called us to do. Born of his spirit and lost completely in his love. Are you lost? Do you know him? Are you lost in the spirit? Are you lost in his love? He's still there speaking to us. He has not changed. He says, my mission and my purpose is to seek and save the lost. If you are here and lost, you need to find him. Amen. He's just right here. He's waiting for you. to change you because he's the game changer. He's waiting for you to make you a different kind of an individual so that he can declare to you his purpose. And when you know him, you will be happy. Amen. Jesus one day told the people, he says, Abraham, your forefather was looking for me. And when he saw me, he was glad. He was glad. And he asked, you are just a 30-year-old old man. When did you see Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. You need to know him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord bless you. It's my prayer.